Save for the intro.
It's time to get in the ring and start running the ropes.
What hurts most are my feelings. Eric, you cussed at me.
Step inside as the guys talk about all the happenings going on within the WWE.
I am the best wrestler in the world.
TNA.
I know your stuff. Wayne. EY. Wayne, you EY. Your name.
EY.
Okay, look. This is for Fritz.
Ring of Honor.
Hey, Colt Cabana, how you doing?
And the NorCal independent scene.
Fan-friggin-tastic. We're back here again.
Oh, you're back.
And now live from the RTR studio in the San Francisco Bay Area.
What are you watering?
Hot.
It's Running the Ropes right here on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Parts of what?
Hot. I'm not getting rid of it.
Are you kidding? That's great for my glaucoma.
All right, welcome to Running the Ropes, exclusively here on the Unchained Wrestling Network. Brian Maverick Bertrand with you once again. And, of course, as always, we got Chris Kelly from HeadlocksAndHeadlines.com and Randy McWilliams from What Would Fans Do. And I gotta say, California has been on a weird new offset. We are now a month and a half into autumn, or fall for you normal people, and it finally started raining.
Well, you now know how I feel about 11 months of the year.
Yeah, so we got England weather.
I mean, do you think America is now taking British weather because it knows I'm coming there next week? So it's getting prepared to piss down and...
It's just making sure you're comfortable and you're in a familiar environment.
So I might get...
But if that's the case, hold on. But if that's the case, why is it coming to California? You're not going to be in California. You're going to be in Florida.
Well, I think it might be drunk. I might have got wasted. I might have got wasted last Wednesday.
So you're saying it was either you or some Irish scientist, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I told the rain to go to somewhere in America and it ended up there. My bad. Blame the £1.50 Jager bomb, okay? That's what I'm saying. So,
I blame the metric system.
Okay.
Anyway.
We should have just gone to tins, damn it, tins.
Exactly. Randy, what's up with you?
Nothing much, really, just in El Paso. What the fuck can I say to that?
There you go. I don't know. I've started working on the newspaper, our school newspaper's website, and now it's finally looks like a fully fledged website, finally. Or again, I should say. But I gotta say, Bound for Glory, I'm a little excited for.
A little excited?
A little bit. Well, it's Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle, and they're putting Bobby Roode basically through a gauntlet of his own Fortune members, and it works.
And, like, I mean, as you know, I'm going to Bound for Glory. I'm going to be there in person. I'm going to spend the whole weekend stalking knockouts, possibly, and might end up in jail. But it does look like a good card. I mean, there are 9 set matches for that pay-per-view. I mean, when was the last time we saw 9 set matches for a WWE pay-per-view?
That's true. It was always like 3 matches and 6 or more matches of just unannounced bullshit. And it never used to be like that. It used to be you knew who was wrestling just before a pay-per-view. I mean, I just watched WrestleMania 9, and they had storylines for each and every match, and they hyped it up for each and every match.
Well, yeah, I mean, and every match on the card is being hyped. I mean, of course, you got Kurt Angle versus Bobby Roode. I mean, that's being pushed as hell. Sting, Hogan, RVD versus Jerry Lynn in a Full Metal Mayhem match.
I didn't even know it was Full Metal Mayhem. Now I'm even more excited.
Did they really get to kill Jerry Lynn?
We got Bully Ray versus Mr. Anderson in a Ford Count Anywhere match. Should be a good match. Austin Aries versus Brian Kendrick. Mexican America, a.k.a. LAX 2.0, versus Ink Inc. Winter versus Mickie James versus Velvet Sky versus Baz and Rain for Knockouts title. Samoa Joe versus Crimson versus Matt Morgan. And AJ Styles versus Christopher Daniels. I mean, to me, that's a freaking stacked card.
It's a very stacked card, and it's very well made. The only match I see as being bad for TNA would be Angle's Daniels again. I'm done.
Well, it depends, because if you think about it, from a storyline standpoint, if they have AJ go over here, that ties up, doesn't it? That ties them up in terms of victories over each other.
Uh-huh.
And they should probably put over AJ. But
here's the problem with that. They've done this feud a lot in TNA. And I understand WWE's done the same with other feuds too. But it's one of those where they... I don't know if you want to continue on with this so long. Especially, even if you do want to, I'd change it up and maybe go Daniels over AJ.
It would have to be a legit match. It can't be no bullshit match. It can't be no heel turn or heel move match. You know what I mean? It has to be a regular, full-fledged Ring of Honor robots go crazy, you know?
Well, that's the thing. Match. They already did that. They're already setting it up for yet again another Daniels heel turn on style. Well, not yet again, but Daniels tends to be the heel, I think, more often than not.
Well, that's true, but, like, look at the match that happened last time with them at the last pay-per-view,
The last match was when they were on the road, was it not? It wasn't a pay-per-view.
The last pay-per-view match, then.
When was that?
That was at the last pay-per-view.
Was it?
Yes.
No, was it because...
That's when he kicked him in the nuts. Oh, No. That was on Impact. No, that was when they went to...
Nashville. No. Nashville. Was it Nashville?
It wasn't Nashville. No, it was somewhere in the South State. Somewhere in the Hick Towns. Huntsville, Alabama. That's it. I'm going to get so much hate mail. Remember running
you
the ropes at yahoo.com.
Damn it. Oh, no.
Hey, to be fair,
even more.
In my defense, I don't know any of the American states, so if I say America in general, be happy that I know it's my country.
Be happy he knows the name. Anyway, I like that. I think it's great. Trying to remember.
Wouldn't it because the last time that they wrestled, AJ slipped off the ropes and was pinned like that. And that then, from then, Daniel claimed that he was better than AJ.
Right.
So this match should have no run-ins. And I'm thinking about it more. And I think if you have AJ go over, that makes him, in theory, number one contender to the world title.
Yeah.
And how cool would it be to see two TNA originals in Bobby Roode and AJ going for the world title? Or do you have Christopher Daniels go over? Of course, we don't need, because he's a heel. So, I mean, that's where they can go. I mean, I know people often bash TNA for their poor booking, but right now they've actually got so many open options right now. It's quite cool to watch. And, I know people don't like TNA because they don't, but as a fan of a company, I'm looking forward not only to the pay-per-view, but I'm also attending the following TV tapings in Orlando.
But here's my thing. I'm still very, very skeptical. You know, because I'm a skeptical person.
I'm half and half on this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I could see it to where it's a stacked card. It looks to be a great pay-per-view. I bet Bobby Roode and Kurt Angle are going to tear the house down. But when I think of TNA, I think of the botched ending because I think of Vince Russo.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, say if Sting goes over in the main event, okay, and I'm pretty sure it's for the control of the company.
Right.
How, I mean, okay, and like, say if Sting threatens to fire Hogan, my aim and plan is to get a chant going, fire Russo, fire Russo, and see how that heads on.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I mean,
they'll probably say it before you. This is gonna be in Philly.
So, yeah, that's true. It's gonna be in Philly. So you're gonna have the ECW crowd there. I'm gonna look for Sign Guy. I'm looking for Sign Guy Dudley.
I mean, also when they go chant ECW, will they go EC fuck EB 2.0? Since WWE own the trademark to ECW.
That's true.
Like the fans are going to give a shit. They'll chant it anyway.
They'll still chant ECW, yeah.
Problem in trying to edit it out.
Yeah, and they won't edit it out. There's no way they're going to be able to edit it out because look at how hard the first Hardcore Justice was. They didn't censor nobody because they couldn't. And they knew
they could do it if they're on TV, hence the January 4th, 2010.
Right, but then
episode.
You take out the whole ambient sound factor, but that's a whole nother story. You take out way more than you need to, anyway, at the very least. But yeah, I mean, hey, I'm looking forward for Bound for Glory. If anything, it should be a good match. It should be a good show. I'm praying it's a good show. But the first botch ending we see, I bet you 80% of the crowd, possibly including myself, are going to turn it off.
Yeah, unfortunately. It depends on what it is, because there's already at least 3-4 matches I could possibly see it not working out too well.
Right. So we'll see what happens.
How will I, live in attendance, turn off the TV? I don't think that's possible. Like, what, would I just have my back on the go, yeah, fuck this, I'm going to go watch the post-try. I mean, no matter what happens, I'm going to have fun and get drunk, to be fair, so... Good, bad, or indifferent, I'm going to have a fun weekend.
Yeah.
And like I say, if need be, I can go get wasted because I am now legally 21 years old, meaning I can get drunk in America.
Yeah. And so, you're going to be drunk as hell.
I mean, hell, and then I get to spend 5 days in Orlando where I'm just bloody be in the Universal Studios and hanging out with because I've actually booked my hotel through TNA, so I'm actually in the TNA hotel. So that should be fun. But I think good, bad, or indifferent, you know people will moan about it. People will call out TNA for being poor. TNA can't win, to be fair.
No.
Until they fire Russo, TNA will never win.
That's true. That's very true. But at the same time, I look at it as... not just being Russo. You know what I mean? Like, for all we know, it could be a whole bunch of other problems.
A lot of people who probably hate TNA, Russo may or may not show up first, depending on who you're asking.
Depending on
who
you're asking.
No, he will show up, but I don't think he's the main factor as it was. I think they've just, like, eh.
Now... That makes it very intriguing then, Randy, because I remember hearing one of the commercials for your show, What Would Fans Do, on the SNS Radio Network, and you went off on TNA.
Oh, that promo.
I've been actually wanting to ask you. That's kind of old, though.
About Russo and Ace.
Yes, that would be the one.
Oh, yeah, that one. Now, I can actually explain that one because that was for the commercial.
That was just for the commercial? You don't hate TNA? But it was
a
live recording.
Here's how I'm with TNA, to be honest. I've seen a lot of shit on there to where I probably should stop watching, but I'm more like, eh.
You want to see where it goes.
Kinda. Yeah, to an extent, I do want to. I think, yeah, I can see why people have quit it. That's their thing. I understand why. I've seen enough of it to understand. I haven't been necessarily watching since 02, 04 to be exact, but I've seen enough even back then. And hell, back then it seemed a little better, but they had its shit too.
Yeah.
But.
And I know exactly where you're coming from on that. I mean, I'm the same way. I started watching in 04 and watched it to see how it goes. Then I watched some of the pay-per-views, and it was pretty badass on the pay-per-views. But, like, now, just to see how it evolved from 2004 when they were on Fox Sports to now on Spike, it's very interesting to see how they came up. I mean, of course, they changed a lot of it. But
better and for the worse, and
yeah, but now it's but
those wives. But
if you watch it, if anyone watches TNA week in, week out, just to see how far it goes, just like they did when they watched WCW, when they really wanted to watch WWE with Stone Cold and all that, then you would see my point on why I still like TNA. Why I still would talk about them and give them their fair share, at the very least.
I mean, like, I think the first TNA match I saw was when AJ Styles won the Exhibition title with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat as the guest referee. That might have been the first TNA show, I'm not sure.
No, it wasn't. The first one was when Ken Shamrock won the NWA World Heavyweight title.
And that was when they had that battle royal with
the gauntlet for the gold.
Featuring the two stars in that match, Lenny and Lace.
I mean,
suplexing Jeff Jarrett, which, yeah. I don't care, that's a badass moment.
ladies and gentlemen, this is my final thing on that. I get why people hate TNA. I get that the booking is sometimes terrible. But, in my opinion, you have to look past the booking, okay? You can't blame the wrestlers for the booking. They go in there week in, week out, day in, day out, year in, year out, to bust their ass to tell a story. And in my opinion, no matter how bad the booking is, the guys in the ring usually tell a pretty damn decent story.
Exactly. And at the same time, and a lot of people have said it. They got a great roster, an amazing set of wrestlers in TNA right now. Even with some of them being from WWE, they have great talent. Mr. Anderson, he was amazing in WWE. He's pretty damn awesome in TNA too. Kurt Angle hasn't lost his touch. You know, Matt Morgan evolved in TNA, whereas in WWE he would have devolved back to the undercard and not heard from again until he's actually in the ring.
Speaking of Mr. Kennedy, or Anton, did you see that this week on Impact he was wearing some Mr. Kennedy shorts? It said MK on it.
Yes.
Not MA.
I noticed that. That was funny.
But yeah, I mean, TNA has done a fantastic job or building up some guys, like you say. Matt Morgan was a guy that I would not even consider a WWE reject. I mean, he didn't even do much in the E. I mean,
yeah, he had great matches in WWE, yes, but no.
He was on TV enough to where maybe you would have seen him once. And not even then, he was kind of really not there.
But I mean, there are people in that company that I think are quote unquote too big for TNA. I mean, whenever I see Mickie James, I feel like she should be back in WWE. She just seems to be a level above everyone else in terms of ring work.
Yeah, and what's great is that they have more of the experience in the WWE style, which TNA seems to try and emulate sometimes. But, of course, keyword on sometimes. But, like, certain big matches for wrestlers like Matt Morgan, Mickie James, and all that, they come very few and far between if they were still in WWE. Orlando Jordan wouldn't have been known in WWE that much because he was basically how did Booker T put it? He was JBL's what, houseboy? So
pretty much. I have a question, right?
Okay.
That I posed this to Mickie James herself last week. Do the fans consider Mickie James a possible future Hall of Famer if she was to return to WWE and have one last strong run there?
Only after Lita gets in there.
I don't know. Maybe.
Only after Lita gets in there.
Yeah, but I think Lita's kind of distanced herself from... Mickie James would arguably be the best active wrestler right now in WWE or TNA in terms of women's talent.
Right.
And she had a fantastic run in WWE. She kind of buggered up a bit when she tried to hold up a coach on a tour. But she is, what, a 6-time Divas Women's Champion overall? And a 1-time Knockouts Champion, something like that? So
she's
I think
3-time Knockouts champ now.
I think so, yeah.
Because there's at least 2 reigns. Because remember when Winter had the short?
Oh yeah.
Short reign. Actually, I think it's 3. Yeah.
I could see her if she returns to WWE one day, and win 3 or 4 more titles. She, in my opinion, she could be a Hall of Famer because she's actually pretty damn decent in the ring. And
I don't know. I've seen, to be honest, with Mickie James, some stuff she's kind of botchy sometimes.
Yeah, but that's that depends who she's working with. I mean, when she wrestled Victoria in a cage match, that was a great match.
That's true, and I can see that. But hey, even Trish Stratus botched in her time.
True, true. Like I understand, but it's kind of. Like, I don't mind Mickey, but I can see why some people will say, oh, she's not that good.
Also, she is freaking hot in person.
Oh, I bet she is.
And that is one more reason why I hate Magnus.
Yeah.
Magnus is hitting that?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Right?
I would make a joke about him getting leftovers from a certain top WWE star, but... Oh, yes.
The thing is, right, we can't see that joke.
You can't.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
That joke would be quote-unquote untouchable, right?
That's kind of going back on old stuff you did, but yeah, you can say that.
Yes. Oh, that brought a tear to my eye.
It's not
that good.
We can't name him. It's just funnier to allude to it knowing that everybody knows who it is.
It's just obvious. I mean, hey, we may not see him, but we know him.
Okay. You're right, because we didn't see him at the end of Raw.
That's true. Where was he on the walkout?
He was there, but we just can't see him. That's her gimmick. He was there. Actually, he was in the ring with Triple H. But, you know, we can't see him, so...
I think the nose is covering him up, that's why.
Now,
anyway...
Do you think we should transition to a bit of a Night of Champions?
Not Night of Champions,
It's fucking Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So, there's so many pay-per-views in a row. It's crazy. I mean, Hell in a Cell, Night of Champions, Vengeance, Survivor Series.
Yeah, this is the pay-per-view season after all. Yeah, let's get into Hell in a Cell because, wow, it was better than I thought it would be. It really was.
Well, the night started out with Christian vs. Sheamus. But before that got started, we see the awesome Truth. Miz and R-Truth sat in the crowd, and I thought that they were going to do what they do on WWE 11, where the guys just sit in the crowd and have tickets. But no, I mean...
And just sit there and not even do anything.
How can you throw someone out who's got tickets? I mean, why didn't they throw out the guy next to them? That's a question.
That's true.
That there is a conspiracy.
Conspiracy?
True, but it's kind of a wrestling trope, like... How did they get the tickets?
How did they get the tickets to a fully sold out show?
Obviously, they bought it on eBay. That's the obvious answer. They bought it on eBay, went to the show, and kicked out.
There was one time they actually explained it.
No. They went to StubHub. And they printed out the tickets.
So we're saying that Crime Time came back to WWE for one day and sold the Awesome Truth tickets.
Yeah.
Is that what we're saying here?
Well, Shad's not in. Maybe they want to bring Shad back. Who knows? JTG's doing his own thing. He's hating on the haters, so maybe he's
That is why he wouldn't be on TV for the last few weeks. He's been busy getting these fake tickets to give them. That's why they couldn't get into, like, the tickets were fake. That's why they couldn't get in. Poor guy.
That sucks. Well, if anything, I mean.
So, yeah, the first match was Mr. Gimme One More Chance versus the Ghost from Ireland, a.k.a. Seamus. It was a good match. I liked it. Winner, Seamus. So I'm guessing that makes him the number one contender. Because I would love to see Seamus versus Mark Henry for the world title at some point in the future.
Yeah?
All right, my bad. I could see that one going down. Because the feud kind of didn't end, really. So they can still continue from that. But I think they're going with... Seems like they're going with the Big Show. Especially with the whole name of the next pay-per-view coming up.
Yeah, I can see
that.
The
Big Show.
Who knows? They might go with Sheamus. Sorry about that.
Oh, Sheamus and Big Show. Oh, that'd be epic.
Anyway. Whenever I hear Big Show's name, my mind just plays back hearing Chris Jericho's theme song from when they were Jericho, and they had that for 1 week. They had that terrible remix where he goes, "Well, it's the big break the walls down."
Yeah,
that was the worst remix.
Which one? The first couple ones or the really good one?
No, the really bad one. Where he goes, big
the
break
one on the album.
Don't know.
Okay,
but
never mind.
They had for 1 week, and it went away.
It went away like hooded ninjas in a pedo van.
So next up, we had Sin Cara A versus Sin Cara B for the identity to be Sin Cara. I don't think many fans, A, understand the storyline, and B, like the match. I mean... The whole idea, and I think you guys, if I'm wrong, correct me. Sin Cara A, aka Sin Cara Blue, stole the identity.
Sin Cara Azul versus Sin Cara Negro.
Yeah. So basically, Sin Cara Blue stole Sin Cara Black's identity when they were in CMML.
No, here's the story. Let me explain it, which is actually true. To an extent, but there's actually some truth to it. When I'm not gonna call him Sin Cara Negro. When Judico started in started wrestling here in El Paso Juarez, he was wrestling as Mystico. And yes, I know I'm sounding like Johnny Ace right now. I'm a little sick, but anyway, he started out as Mystico, and then Mystico or Sin Cara Azul was somebody else. He was, I think, Astro Boy, and then he became Mystico. Now, Judico got pissed over that and sued CMLO, and CMLO ended up winning probably because they probably had the better lawyers.
Hold on. So, who's the original Mystico?
Far as I know, it's the Sin Cara Negro, Judico.
Yeah. The black Sin Cara.
So, Judico's been in FCW then.
Well, that's the thing. They had the CMLL bought the rights to the Mystico, or at least were able to get it.
Right. But he held that press conference, and he was supposed to be Mystico, but then he pulled off the mask and Sin Cara. That's Judico.
No. This whole Judico is the one from El Paso, Sin Cara Negro, the one that showed up when Mystico was fucking up.
Right.
That's a weird thing. I should even say Mystico in this, because...
Okay.
So basically, Sin Cara Blue stole Sin Cara Black's identity as Mystico.
Not necessarily, because it was different. I think his name was just Mystico, because with Sin Cara Blue, it was like he was a wrestling saint, was the whole thing.
Okay, so...
not necessarily the gimmick, but the name, yes.
Right, so Sin Cara Blue would be the original Mystico.
That would be the famous Mystico, not the original Mystico.
Yeah, the original Mystico was a black Sin Cara.
Okay. Gotcha. Mystico,
even,
is the only one.
That's hard for me to say from him coming from El Paso. Sorry about that.
Right, but Blue Mystico's the original, or Blue Sin Cara's the original Mystico.
Blue's
not the original, the famous.
The one everyone knows.
Taller one, yeah, everybody knows.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing.
Anyway, let's move on. We've spent way too much time.
Basically, Blue Sin Cara wins in a match the fans hated, and I'm not quite sure why. I thought it was a decent match, but
They had the lighting again. Why? It's a pay-per-view. Why the lighting?
Because both Sin Cara loved the lighting so much that they bring it to pay-per-view. Hell, it's actually in the new WWE 12.
What
you had the mood
fuck?
Lighting in WWE 12.
You could put mood lighting in on Sin Cara now. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's in game, like in match. You had the mood lighting.
Oh my god.
Okay, next up we had Air Boom or Jamaican Me High versus Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger.
Jamaican Me Higher.
Air Boom win. I think following a shooting star press. I can't honestly remember. But they retain.
Shit, how did that match end? I even forgot.
Well, everyone won. That's what we know.
Yeah, fair enough.
Next match up, it was a bad day to be a white boy, as Mark Henry retained his title against Randy Orton inside of a Hell in a Cell. Now, the problem that I have with the Hell in a Cell...
bad day to be a white man. Wow.
Right, the problem that I have with the Hell in a Cell, right, is every spot that they did during that match could have been done in a steel cage match. I wanted to see people go out the cage, like climb on top. I mean, I don't think that match was really brutal enough to warrant being in Hell in a Cell. They didn't really use the cell at all.
Are you surprised, though?
Not really, but you would think that one of the matches would go outside the cage just so it was a
just
different
to take
spot.
Advantage, yeah, I see what you mean.
I mean, if not, they could have just done that inside of a steel cage.
True, but that's the whole thing with the Hell in the Cell. You're not supposed to get out. Like, yes, they fought on the top, but the whole point is you're supposed to be, and I know that's with the cage. Well, the cage are trying to get up, but the whole point is you're not. They're trying to keep you in the cell, and yes, there ends up tending to be fighting, which would probably help it, but if you... it's one of those I'd probably save it for a special match. I understand why it probably shouldn't be Hell in a Cell, but if you are going to do it with that, you didn't want to go too much on the fireworks if it's only going to be just that.
Right, but you got to remember, it's title matches we're talking about. These the big title matches. Not much action on the outside of the ring, around the cage, but, you know, you kind of got to have something, you got to have some flash when you go into these title matches. Like, I understand saving it for, you know, for a bigger pay-per-view and all that, but it's not the wrestler's fault you morons are advertising it to be such an epic event.
That
you know
is
what I mean?
True.
So
I'm not going to lie on that. Yeah, they need to get rid of the gimmick paper. Well, some of them have worked, but it's more... it's going to end up... yeah, it's not a good idea, I feel.
But the whole gimmick pay-per-views, it kind of books them into a corner.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, because, like, don't we know that the main event of, I think, TLC, when it, of course, will be a TLC match, it kind of ruins the surprise of a whole gimmick.
Exactly.
I think it depends on the gimmick a little bit. Because Elimination Chamber works because they were already doing two chamber matches to begin with. They just decided to change the name to go with the whole change.
And you bring up a great point. But here's what I propose then. What about if you limit the pay-per-views, limit the gimmick pay-per-views, do what you did before, put over the fact that Hell in a Cell is supposed to be brutal and vicious by not using Hell in a Cell matches, by just, you know, say, by using it as sort of a hype. Use it as a hype match instead of a gimmick match.
But, okay, but the difference between now and then in the past, Hell in a Cell would be a feud ender.
Exactly.
Now it's not.
That's what the hype match does.
It has been, but more often than not, it doesn't when it falls. Nowadays, it hasn't been.
Right.
It's still the last one really would have been probably not that, well, actually not that long ago. I think last year. Which match would it have been? Yeah, Undertaker. That wasn't their last one, but you get the picture with that.
Wasn't the last hype match with Hell in a Cell Triple H and Batista?
The last what?
The last hype match.
Like, that was the last match for him?
Before they started doing the Hell in a Cell pay-per-views?
Nah, there was many after, because you still had... who else?
Oh, yeah,
there was
true.
The DX... Yeah, DX, McMahon's a big show from Unforgiven. Unforgiven 06.
There was DX versus Legacy.
There you go. That's like
Undertaker
my point,
Edge,
though.
I think was the last one.
If you keep it as a hype match instead of the gimmick match for gimmick pay-per-view, you add more emphasis on it being a big match. That's why they did that with cage matches back in the day. They did that with hardcore matches back in the day. You know, not so much with ECW because that was kind of the norm. But they made it big. They hyped it. They put it over. They use it as a last resort to a feud. It worked like that. And it was amazing because that's how Undertaker did it. That's how Triple H did it 1 year. You know, it works. It works more as a hype than a gimmick.
Yeah, that's one of those, I believe as well, that you really shouldn't have it as that because that one's more hype than anything.
And
not so much more hype, but it will kind of kill, it kind of saturates it. It oversaturates the idea of it.
Right.
And then a lot of people don't like the blood thing, which I really don't give a shit. Like, it sucks, but...
But, hey, you guys invented it. You guys are using it. You kind of got to do it.
True.
And the wrestlers will
understand. Then again, there was that incident in a Hell in a Cell that shit almost went bad because of blood. Yeah. It almost got Johnny Ace fired, too.
Let's quickly run for the rest of the card. Cody Rhodes came out and he introduced the old dash new IC belt. Which, in my opinion, looks great.
Thank God. I loved that belt back in the day. And now it looks like a belt. Now it looks like a belt to fight for again.
He then had to defend the belt against Mr. Jomo the Jobber. whenever you hear that entrance, you know they're going to lose a match. I mean...
whenever you hear the beginning guitar riff... We already know he's done.
Yeah, like, dude, he's lost. Thank you for coming, Jomo.
Time for a piss break.
speaking of piss breaks, good to take one here. Beth Phoenix versus Kelly Kelly. Kelly Kelly was absolutely terrible in this match. She blew more spots than she's been blowing. No, don't worry.
I don't think that one.
You mean 10 other men, not including John Cena.
Oh, okay.
And yes, we do have a direct source thanks to Randy Orton. 10 guys have been hitting Kelly Kelly more than
10. But that's it. Yeah. It could be just 10. Like, I understand where, she's kind of but it ain't like she hadn't been with guys before. That I wonder, like, what would people think of Kelly now had that shit never been said? Because that's everything they fucking joke on, which I know I'll joke on it too, but it's like...
Well, considering her debut gimmick was a stripper, I'm pretty sure she might have taken her role a bit too seriously and might have possibly been the backstage stripper for all the guys. Maybe that's how she was practicing her gimmick backstage, and guys like Mike Knox took it a bit too far.
Okay, ooh, hold on. Fun. Chris. Okay. You have to be able to take your clothes off in order to be a stripper.
Right, yeah. She dropped her bra. Yeah, she did drop her bra on her debut.
Yeah, she no, cannot act her way out of a bra.
Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I will say this about Kelly. I think she's done pretty well for herself 5 years after the fact.
That's true. Debut.
And I will say she's decent in the ring, and that's no bullshit there. I'm not just saying it just to cause anything. She's actually decent in the ring. I could see why people didn't like that on the Cell match. Thought she was good with Night of Champions and she was the other one before that, SummerSlam. It's just I think she's just gonna get shit on because, well, yeah, the 10 thing, and then people might stab her over ECW. Okay.
She had improved, right? But when they started booking her like the female John Cena and had her go on a 15-week winning streak.
True, but then again, like, with Beth, how are you gonna... They booked the right finish with her for Beth for a roll-up, because how are you... Because people would shit on it even more if she, like, powered her out or even hit the K2.
You mean the Fight Master, as I dubbed it.
The Fight Master.
The Fight Master.
But yeah, so basically, Beth Phoenix is... The Divas Champion. Congratulations to her. Next up, we have Alberto Del Rio versus Mr. You Can't See Me, not even in the main event of Raw. And CM Punk. Good match. And you know what? I thought the ending was fantastic. I think. Because they can't make him look weak, because you know he's Superman and that cape's always in the background. But they made Del Rio look smart. And by locking Cena out the cage, that was a fantastic way to go around that match.
That's true. It was a fun match to watch. I don't know. Something about Del Rio winning again kind of irks me a little bit. But then again, John Cena's, like, worse. So I guess Alberto Del Rio would have been the... It is now, I guess, the lesser of two evils at this point.
Yeah, you know, but
we shouldn't worry about Punk if the rumors are true that have been coming out.
What rumors?
The rumors that he will be heading into WrestleMania 28, is it, this year?
Mm-hmm.
As world champion, as WWE champion. Okay. That's the current plan. Yeah. He is meant to be WWE champion, and Sheamus will be challenging Mark Henry for the world title.
Okay.
So yeah, good match. Then after this, we had the cage go up, out with our Truth of the Riz, and basically they beat the living hell out of anyone in the cage. Now, this is the one time that the cage actually came into effect, because it locked them out of the cage. They actually used the cage in a positive way to make to do the story.
Right.
This was a good idea having the cage, because you had R2 and the Miz. Basically, anything that moved was dead. Cameraman, wrestlers, referees.
That's true.
Everything that moved got hit with a pipe.
I was surprised to see the cameraman get attacked. You don't ever see that. And that was something really original, and it worked. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And I think... and, of course, it... But there's something that confuses me. And it's kind of linked into Raw as well, okay?
Okay.
You have all these wrestlers trying to break in the cage to help Triple H to rescue the referee in that lot. But yet on Raw, he gets no confidence. That's kind of like, in 24 hours, they've gone from being supportive to being, nah, mate, you're useless.
That they become whining little kids, and I agree. And it's like, and it makes sense that they walked out, but at the same time, they were trying to help get him out of the cage too.
But what makes no sense, and this is kind of results for SmackDown, okay? On SmackDown, they announced that they refuse to work on Raw because they're scared of their safety, okay?
Okay.
Triple H is the COO of the whole WWE, not only Raw.
That's true. That's why I'm looking. That's why I'm actually looking forward to SmackDown this week. I'm looking very forward to watching SmackDown. So, just to see how that keeps, keeps up with the storyline, if they're going to be consistent about it.
Oh, I mean, how funny, okay, would it be this week on Raw if the show just starts out with Triple H going, yeah, about this, we have no wrestlers. They're all still on strike. And he just sits there for 2 hours just staring at the camera going, yeah, this is Monday Night Raw.
It's Monday Night Raw. Welcome. Don't know what to expect.
Now it's time to watch The Chaperone.
Yeah. It's going to be Chaperone, the match, the movie.
Right? I get why it kind of doesn't make sense for them to work on SmackDown yet. Boycott Raw. But then again, most of the chaos, which in this case is referring to the Awesome Truth, has been on Raw. Which is probably why they're boycotting that.
But that's kind of like, say if we were in a company and like that had two offices. My office gets blown up, so you go on strike on your own office, despite my office being over there. It's kind of a bit not smart, I guess. I mean, I get the idea. I get they're trying to cause tension and someone trying to get rid of Triple H. But in my opinion, it's just too obvious who it is. Like, it's pretty damn obvious that it's Johnny Ace working on behalf of Vince McMahon. I mean, they had Del Rio literally spell it out the other day, going, Vince McMahon will get his job back. And when you look, do you think, Kate, the five guys that weren't around ringside for Raw will be the five guys that are Team Triple H at Survivor Series?
Probably, but then it's, I think, been announced that Rock is going to be on the team, or at least that's been thrown around, so maybe, maybe not. It may not even be Vince McMahon. He might have changed it. Like, I see where it most likely it's going to lead to McMahon, but for right now, honestly don't know. More than likely, it's probably going to be McMahon. Hell, they could throw a curveball and have it be Mick Foley. Maybe even, it could be Kevin Nash, but, there's somebody, most likely it's Vince. Stephanie would make sense considering that she's been kind of quiet, but.
Is this for the whole conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
I honestly think it's Johnny Ace.
It's
the obvious choice. At this point, it's the obvious choice. I could see it being Vince McMahon again, because I won't let you take it out of my hands unless I'm dead in the ground. You know, things like that. But I see it being the obvious choice in anything, because WWE has never been too good on hiding the obvious.
Plus, look back to when Vince McMahon left, quote-unquote, Raw, okay? When he was removed from power following a vote of no confidence from the board of directors.
Right.
This week on Raw, Triple H gets a vote of no confidence from the wrestlers.
Right. So it makes sense.
And once again, this is a bit of SmackDown news. They say on SmackDown that a few of the Raw guys will refuse to wrestle on Raw again until Triple H resigns.
But he's the COO of the entire WWE.
Exactly.
So what would be the point? I mean, granted, I'll give him this. Teddy Long did come out and say he had some power too. If I'm not mistaken, is that I could be wrong.
Teddy Long has a power, but it's part of those old player cards that he used to give out when he was with Rodney Mack.
Yes.
And secretly, he's pimping out that chick from NXT, Alaska, or she's called Anansky, whatever she's called. The one with dark hair.
That hot one? Know. The only hot one out there?
Yeah, secretly, she's actually on the payroll. She's actually part of an escort agency.
Hey, sign me up.
Oh, if they did an escort agency angle, then why did they bring back Ashley?
That's right.
Poor Ashley.
Poor Matt Hardy.
That kind of sucked. Poor Paul London. What?
Yeah, really.
Okay. I saw a picture of Ashley, I think it was with Velvet Sky, the other day at Cynomania. She looked fantastic.
By the way, how was that match with Cynomania with the New Age Outlaws taking on the Godwins?
I honestly don't know.
You were there, weren't you?
We'll have to ask Billy that.
How the hell was I
in... No, see, my bad. I forgot. You're not in America yet. That's my bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically that's how to sell. Should we to a Raw, or should we go to a break?
Let's go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Raw. We're going to give our final thoughts. And hey, we're going to invite you to help us out on a debate that I was having. Basically that I said last night. So yeah, when we get back, so stay tuned. We'll be back right after this on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
It's me, it's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it!
I hear voices in my head, they counsel me, they understand, they talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling,
www.audiowrestling.com,
and check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling,
keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Hey, you.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
the master, your master, and you're listening to Running the Ropes on the Unchained Wrestling Network.
Maverick Bertrand here with you guys once again. We just talked about WWE Hell in a Cell that happened on Sunday afternoon. And real quick, before we get back into it, I just want to make sure you guys know that in just about, I'd say one week and two days, that's 9 days away for those keeping score, October 14th, okay, sorry about that. October 14th, Rival Forge Wrestling returns to Loudon Nelson Community Center. It's going to be first time ever. Many NorCal matches happening for the first time ever. Check it out. Get your tickets right now. RivalForge.com, and we'll see you guys there. So, thanks.
And also, on October 13th, I head to America.
Yes, so look for Chris Kelly in Florida. Mixing up with the old folks out there because he likes the old ladies.
First is Philadelphia. So if you guys going to Bound for Glory, write a little comment on the comment box and we'll see what we can do. Maybe what I'll do, if I get free Wi-Fi at my hotel, I'll try and do this show from Philadelphia.
Oh, there you go. I keep forgetting Bound for Glory is in Philly, not Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here next week because I fly out on the Thursday.
Right.
So I'm here next week.
And are you going to go to the TV tapings in Florida after that? Or not this time? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Then you are going to go. Okay, so I was half right.
Yeah, you're half right, but then about 80% wrong because it's Philadelphia and then Orlando.
Right. Okay. No problem. Well, I ended abruptly. So anyway, like I said, this Hell in a Cell was pretty decent.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good. Some little problems. Of course, the Divas match was inherently awful because it's a Divas match. But if anything, I think it was better than I expected anyway.
Yeah, and it did its job. It built for Raw. It made you and I tune in to Raw,
and it makes the next few weeks better. You know what I mean? It's gonna be better.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think for once the WWE had a home run. They had a home run with Hell in a Cell, and they had a pretty decent Raw.
They did.
And what I found funny about Raw is the first match. Drew McIntyre didn't even get a jobber's entrance. Drew McIntyre was out before the show even started.
Right.
I mean, how bored must he have been in the ring watching the intro of Raw going, I'm jobbing tonight.
Well, before we get to it, let's go ahead and play the sounder for it. If it could work.
You effed up. You wrapped up.
I thought it would work. Give me a second here, guys. Okay, there's no audio.
You wrapped up. You wrapped up. You wrapped up. Sorry,
I cannot. Okay, for some reason, I can't get any sound from YouTube.
Oh, that's just. How about you just quickly just sing the Raw intro?
I can't sing it.
Nor can I.
Okay, well, I'll cut that whole part out. We'll just go ahead and make it seem like it we're on. I'll fix it. Anyways, Raw coming to you from I don't know where. Louisiana, I believe. Right?
Like I said, I don't know American states. I don't know American cities. I only know America. So it was somewhere in America.
The Cajun Dome in Nolens, am I right?
I believe it's in Nolens. I need to look that up right now.
So the first match on the card was Drew McIntyre, who got a pre-show entrance. I mean, hell, that's not even a double's entrance. And so the former chosen one was chosen to be the jobber for Randy Orton. Randy Orton pretty much destroyed him.
I demand to see a better Drew McIntyre. I demand to see Drew McIntyre.
Well, the problem with Drew McIntyre is every storyline that he's had has been dropped. I mean, his fling with Kelly Kelly was dropped. His proposed storyline with Tiffany was dropped due to her release. Edge retired.
Yeah.
He's not had one sort of storyline yet.
I don't know if Edge... They kind of built toward it, but Edge was still dealing with Del Rio.
Randy Orton. Oh, make him do one with Randy Orton.
And like...
Epic.
And like the whole... I mean... McIntyre came in with big fuss and that lot. And he just kind of... He just flopped.
I agree.
That's not his fault. I mean...
I can kind of see. Because he's shown improvement. He's pretty decent. If anybody has even watched Superstars, which I know it's Superstars, but there's a lot of good action on there.
Well, that's what they said about Velocity for a while, and then look what happened to Velocity.
That too.
But I see the point, though. Drew McIntyre, unfortunately, isn't going to be able to get main event status because of WWE holding him back. I get
it's
that.
It's a conspiracy.
It's a conspiracy.
And then he fucked it up the last time that he did have a chance to.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, the guy can wrestle. I love his style of wrestling. I've said it during the Chris Masters interview. He has the look. He has the right theme song. He has just about everything he needs in order to become a great wrestler. He can do it. He has the potential for it, or else they wouldn't have brought him in the first place. But they just have not done any favors for him within the last 3 years.
Well, speaking of doing no favors for themselves, John Morrison was next up, and that dude's done himself no favors. His girlfriend, Melina, done him no favors, apparently. Because, as I said earlier... Because
she's currently busy choking on Mike Knox's beard.
And basically, as I said earlier, as soon as you hear the "Ain't no Maple Leaf," you know he's talking. And once again, it was a bad day to be a white man, as Mark Henry destroyed... Well, not destroyed it. It was a good match. Jomo actually did hit his Starship Pain for once.
Where are the police when you need them for a hate crime? I mean, he's just beating on white people. I have not seen him against anyone else.
Well, then the only black people he can really beat up on is who?
Himself?
Zeke and King? You got Zeke and Kofi, maybe.
Zeke, Kofi, Truth.
Truth is heel, right. JTG. I know you can have, but Truth bring is back. Heel, JTG is heel.
Bring back Shelton Benjamin. Bring back Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, really.
That's my conspiracy.
Anyway.
But yeah, so basically, Mark Henry wins. He decides that he wants to eat Jomo, and he hits him with a few World's Strongest Slams. He then gets in the microphone and says, "Big Show, who's returning on Friday, I'm going to put you into the Hall of Fame. Hall of Pain." Although, You can get both. Never mind. But he's going into the Hall of
Something.
Hall of Something. Yeah, Hall of Pain. Nick, what's up? After that, in the back, we see Dave Otunga, who apparently has turned his tag team partner, Michael McGillicuddy, from a wrestler into a bow tie. Because he hasn't been seen since.
That's good. That's good.
So basically, he talked about a lawsuit and... Basically, at this point, I fell asleep. So basically, they're all there's a group of them: Ziggler, Christian, Del Rio, Swagger, and Cody Rhodes, who all go to the ring to complain that Triple H is being useless. Now, out of those guys, Cody Rhodes is doing fantastically ever since Hunter took over.
Yes.
Ziggler's doing nothing since Hunter took over.
Yes.
Christian's just moaning since Hunter took over.
Yes.
And Del Rio has won the WWE title twice.
You know what I just realized? I get kind of why it makes sense for them to go, why it probably makes a little more sense. Because of what happened there when Triple H pretty much said he didn't care that all this stuff was happening. That probably got into their heads that they didn't care for them. That
right.
They had to fend for themselves. Not that they shouldn't have to, because, yeah, who they are. But still, it's the fact that they don't feel they're getting... You know what I'm trying to say in this case?
Yeah, but when you look at it when you look at it that way, they're making between $150,000 and $700,000 a year. Why are you complaining? Easy, Samoa Joe. Easy.
It's probably a jab at the lockout.
It's probably a jab at Samoa Joe. It just does not... It's a joke. It could be a bit of a jab at both lockouts, the NFL and NBA lockout. But when you look at it, why are wrestlers in the WWE forming a union?
Because there's no actual wrestling union behind the scenes. So they could literally have built a wrestling union.
Then where is Don Marie's stipend? You know what I mean? Because isn't she the first one that came over? Was that Francine with the wrestlers union?
No, that was the first person really was Ventura. Jesse Ventura.
Okay, then yeah. Where's Jesse Ventura's stipend? You know what I mean?
Do you know what I found funniest out of this whole segment? The most over heel in that damn ring was Vicky Guerrero. She got the biggest booze.
Yes.
Which kind of puts it to shame. Next up, we have Kelly and the lovely Eve. Eve. Taking on Natalia.
What a liquor face.
Thing is, right, a few weeks back, I think it's before Night of Champions. Eve had this really cool hairstyle, like some like weird curly hair. Now she's gone back to her normal hairstyle. I don't like it.
I like
the old hairstyle.
I like the old hairstyle. I like the straight hairstyle. It's pretty good. It looked good. I did like the curly hair when she was dressed up as Wonder Woman. That was hot.
That's because you're a geek.
That was hot. No, geekness aside, that was hot.
So this match never really gets going. Kelly decides that she no longer wants to be a Barbie. She wants to actually man up and take all those pair of balls that she's had in her mouth and actually grow a set. And she snaps. She basically destroys the Phoenix and Natalia and hulks up and evolves into a real Kelly. And
so
that was generally it.
Now
I'm
they're
sorry,
gonna
that
put
shit
her
was
over.
Awesome.
Yeah, I agree. That was pretty awesome. But I don't know. Something about it just does not seem to be working for me. I'd
it's
rather see
it screams.
Yeah.
I think Melina called Kelly. She wants her gimmick back. Melina was the one that would scream.
Well, that was...
No, Daphne called. She wanted her gimmick back.
No, but, dude, Melina, she used to scream mid-match.
So did Daphne.
No, Daphne was doing this. Yeah, Mav has this. Daphne was doing this way before Melina did that.
Yeah, but bear in mind...
And hers hurt.
Fans.
Her screams hurt.
Yeah, but so did Melina when she was like when she was being the manager of Eminem, and she was going, ah!
I almost threw a beer at her last time they were in San Jose. I just wanted to shut her up when she would scream like that.
So next up we have
with your dick.
Well, yeah.
So next up we have Santino Marella, the returning Santino Marella. Without his monobrow, I was quite upset. From what I understand, WWE had parted ways with his unibrow.
Why? That was a gimmick.
Do you know what's funny? Like on Twitter, I actually tweeted WWE has come to terms of the release of Santino's unibrow, right? And WWE actually took that quote and put it on their website.
They just copied and pasted your tweet. Did they at least give you credit?
Yeah, they did. I posted it in the little private chat between us, right? If you just put find like control F and then type in A2H credit, yeah, they literally just controlled and pasted my tweet from Twitter.
Can you link me? Because I want to see that.
I have. I just put in a little private chat.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm gonna look in the private chat. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, I'm now Mr. WWE.com. So, what was next? Next up, I've just fucking closed my page. That's no good. I just closed my flipping server. So, yeah, so Santino wins a match. Jinder Mahal, basically...
I see it.
Jobber.
I see it.
You know what I mean? I'm famous.
I like how they're doing this now. They're putting in, like, user comments now from Twitter.
But I find it funny, like, in a paragraph above, they're like, it seems like fans think that WWE have released the unibrow.
I like that.
Yeah, if you just use hashtag WWE Raw, you might get your tweets on www.com.
See, TNA, this is what you need.
Well, actually, you say that, right? During Impact, they put up a question on screen.
Oh, like, yeah, that's true.
This week it was, who do you want to see as next the next exhibition champion? You tweet, and then it appears on the screen.
Oh, okay, I like that. Okay, yeah. I like how they're doing the social network thing now. It's epic.
Next up is the main event, CM Punk, John Cena, Kofi Kingston, Evan Bourne, Batista, Sheamus, taking on Christian, Dolph Ziggler, Alberto Del Rio, Cody Rhodes, Jack Swagger, David Hunger, without his bow tie. The end comes when basically everyone hits a finisher. It ends with Ziggler hitting the zigzag on Cena, and then Sheamus deciding to be a hate crime and big boot Ziggler in the face because Ziggler's hair was more white than Sheamus' face. So Ziggler loses that match. Next up, it's time for the Vote of Confidence, where the whole roster comes out. Apart from CM Punk, Sheamus, Cena, Orton, someone else. Who else was missing?
From the vote of no confidence, Michael McGillicuddy was there.
Yeah, of course. He was the biggest guy there. No, who missed it? Cena, Punk, Orton, Sheamus.
All the wrestlers, all the WWE wrestlers. We don't have to name them each individually.
No. Who weren't there?
Oh, who weren't there? Okay.
Cena, Punk, Orton, Sheamus, Mason Ryan was there for some reason.
All the faces, basically. Well, most of the faces basically weren't there. You had probably a couple of faces there, but not many. Because if you notice, none of the people that they showed on TV were faces at all. They were all heel.
Well, you see, Air Boom was there. Air Boom walked out.
Well, 95% of them were all heel, and 5% were faces.
They had a ton of faces out there.
No, yeah. They didn't. Damn it, I gotta watch it again.
Air Boom. There was Caitlyn and AJ, even though that was Divas, they're still faces.
That's true.
JoMo was there.
JoMo, yeah. Santino. Did I say Santino already?
Okay, so I'm wrong. So it was all. So it was basically most of the WWE roster.
No, yeah. It was basically the top faces that they didn't want to get booed.
Right.
So
it was basically your mid and undercard.
Yeah, and basically they go around asking people why they have no confidence. First it was Wade Barrett of the Nexus and the Corey.
Corey.
And basically he says that he had no confidence because he wasn't safe. And then Triple H was like, it was fine when you were doing it with the Nexus. Which I thought was pretty funny.
me too.
Next up, we had the referees growing a set and saying that they were upset. Now, isn't it ironic that Triple H, in his prime, used to take out referees left, right, and center with hammers and chairs and pedigrees?
Yes. I thought it was more ironic that Mike Chioda had stolen John Laurinaitis' vocal cords and stuck them in his neck. Because he sounded just like Johnny Ace.
No. Is it me, or did Beth Phoenix sound a lot like Stephen McMahon? When I heard someone go, Hunter, I was like, holy crap, here comes Stephanie.
Yes.
But no, it was Beth Phoenix.
Yeah, that voice is super similar.
I did love Hunter's response. What has actually happened to you girls so far? What have been in charge? Nothing? But it could. Great response, Dad. Great response. But, yeah, basically, they get the whole roster, like, King starts to walk out, everyone leaves, the cameraman. I find it funny how even the cameraman left.
I did, too. They're starting to use more than just the on-air talent. They're using the guys in the... They're using the camera guys, they're using the executives, they're using all these other people. And... It makes you, it pulls you in to say, they're all walking out on the guy who's trying to save the company, and no one thinks he could do it. Yeah, it works. Like, I think it's a great storyline.
Yeah, I mean, and it's quite cool when it's kind of telling when that the last person to walk out was actually JR. I thought JR would sit there.
So did I.
But as soon as he walked out, I was like, damn. But it's funny because after Raw went off the air, out came Zack Ryder. And Zack Ryder was like, nah, bro, I think I owe you because you may be the Raw GM. No, sorry, the SmackDown GM kind of thing. And you made me over. And Zack Ryder like, recorded a bit of TV for his YouTube show.
Oh, nice.
And then out of nowhere, Triple H pedigree Zack Ryder. Which actually got a booze. I was quite shocked about that. And then Hunter picked up the phone and goes, "Woo, woo, woo! You know it." So that will probably be on his YouTube page.
Oh yeah, funny. You know it will be.
But it's quite funny, like to sell a story of everyone walking out. They actually got a member of security to do the post-war. Like, cause, do you know, at the end of the Raw, they usually have Justin Roberts go, thank you for coming here, we'll be here next time, blah, 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 have a good night.
Right.
They actually got someone from the security team to do that.
Wow. Like, that I'm actually genuinely surprised about, because you never see WWE, I mean, even with these circumstances, with everyone walking out and all that, you don't see them doing that in any situation.
Right, I think the last time I saw that, wouldn't it, with the Nexus, where the fan, the actual fan, grabbed the ring bell and started ringing it. Go back, all right, and watch the debut of the Nexus. And this is what Michael Taylor told us, basically. Like, they took out everyone, okay?
Uh-huh.
And a fan reached over to, like, to grab the ring bell and was there ringing the bell.
That's awesome. That yeah. is just awesome.
Like, it's funny how, like, everyone's dead and then all he is. Ding, 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 because there's a fan who's, like, business is real.
Oh, now I want to watch it again. Oh, but I bet it's on YouTube.
I think I'll watch it. Yeah. I'm going to have to look for that.
Oh, yeah.
We should just do, like, a special where we do, like, a little, like, how they have DVD commentaries on...
Oh, you know what? Hey, I'm going to propose this for you guys, okay? I've been thinking of doing a video project on Ultimate Warrior and his last rant on Hulk Hogan, the one he did this year.
Right.
Would that be a good idea to have on Unchained? Dez is in on it. Dez would love to have it on.
So basically, we sit here and talk about the Ultimate Warrior's rant.
It would kind of be like a Mystery Science Theater thing.
I think that would go somewhere in our wrestling mystery box that we started up a few
months
ago.
It'll be a great... honestly, I think it'll be a great special. You know what? Here's what we'll do. I'm gonna let you guys think about it, but I'm gonna put it out there right now. That could definitely be the Running the Ropes Halloween special.
Ooh, you know what we should do? If we're really gonna try to be scary about it, joking and funny, we do commentary on Warrior Hogan Halloween Havoc 98.
Oh yes. Oh, hey, if you, Randy, if you could link me with a download for that so I could watch it, I'd be into it. I'd be into that too.
I'll look for one.
Okay.
But all you really have, for those of you who haven't seen it, one, listen to us if we do decide to do it, and two, just buy the Self-Destruction Ultimate Warrior DVD and all you'll need to know about the match.
And see, That's what I love about this show, that I've done for this show. I pull the curtain back. I don't care. I want to pull the curtain back because that's how I roll. I'll even leave it up to you guys for ideas and reasonings for the ideas. Email me, and I'll put the email right there for those that are listening. All you got to do, runningtheropes@yahoo.com.
And if you want to send Maverick pieces of drafts, feel free.
I don't know what you just said.
Giraffes.
I want the fans to send you pictures of giraffes.
I don't care. Someone should email me. But I want to know. I want to know. Runningtheropes@yahoo.com.
I'll find you a picture of a giraffe and send you the email.
Okay. I want to know, what would be an idea for a special that we could hold here on Running the Ropes? I want it to be fun. I want it to be fun, inviting. We'll pull the curtain back. We'll do whatever. I want to see. I want to get a lot of feedback for that. So yeah. Help me out. And I just been handed a note here. To see what this is. I'm just saying because. Again, I never think of anything that isn't fun. I'm a fun guy. And I see Randy, wow, you're on top of this. Triple H must resign or appoint a new COO this Monday? After one of the most historic Raws in Raw history, or recent history, will the fallout continue from the disgruntled WWE superstars John Cena, CM Punk, Alberto Del Rio, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Mark Henry, Oklahoma's own Jim Ross, and more on Monday night at Oklahoma City's Chesapeake Energy Arena. Wow. Apparently he has to resign. He has to find a replacement now. Wow.
Yeah, that happens on SmackDown.
Oh God damn it! So, Randy, you spoiled me.
Well, that's what it said on there. I did it.
Come on, that was something big. We could have. God damn it. Oh well, that's all right. Oh, now I want to watch SmackDown more.
That's good, see? Join the dark side. Watch SmackDown.
I'll watch SmackDown. I will. All right. But that'll be for another day. We will talk about SmackDown next week. We will talk about the fallout from SmackDown on Raw next week. We'll talk more about Impact, give them their due. It's going to be a great, great show next week. As far as interviews go, we're still negotiating. We're still getting people in there. We hopefully should have someone soon within the next couple of weeks. So until then, you guys have anything to plug?
Check your emails. I sent you a picture.
Check my emails. Okay. Again, ladies and gentlemen, runningtheropes@yahoo.com. Check out headlocks2headlines.com, the official news source of Running the Ropes. Because, let's face it, Crowley is special. Also, be sure you listen to the SNS Radio Network over there. Awesome people. JJ is a good guy. Nicest guy I've ever met in terms of radio and everything else. You can listen to Randy's show, What Would Fans Do? Weekly podcast
They would grab the ankles and then go meet Jim Cornette. That's what fans would do.
Wait.
That's what Nim would do. I'd have the band crush for Cornette and Punk.
There you go. But yeah, check that out. It's going to be great. What are you guys talking about next week? Randy?
That's if we even get a show because Nim's computer broke down.
Oh, no.
Or his motherboard or something. I was like, damn, so... We've been having some troubles lately on some shows, but we'll still have shows out here. And for those of you that do happen to listen to What Would Fans Do and Running the Ropes, you're still listening to me.
What's the problem here? I mean, hey, you got me.
Oh, wait a minute. That is true.
Talk to your people.
After this show.
So anyway. On that note, I just want to make one more plug. Again, next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday the 14th, Rival Forge Wrestling returns to Santa Cruz at the Lon Nelson Community Center. It's dubbed the first time ever, of course, and these matches feature matches that have never before been done in Northern California. It's going to be, including the main event, is going to be the Angry Dragon Mike Hayashi taking on all three members, yes, all three members of Pink Meek Inc., Wrestling Personified Rick Luxury, Sheik Khan Abadi, and Marcus Mack, all in the same ring. It's going to be epic. Also, former WWE superstar Gangrel is going to be there taking on the Chupacabra and much more. For more information and order tickets, head on over to rivalforge.com. And yeah, that's it.
Did you enjoy your gift in your email box, Mav?
I have not checked it yet. Anyways, we're going to get out of here. I'm going to go check out this package. I hope it's not a powdery one. We'll see you guys later.
This has been a presentation of Running the Ropes, exclusively on the Unchained Wrestling Network at unchained-wwe.com. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the panel and not of the network or its affiliates.